coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today, Tuesday, October 3rd. 2023. I'm Doug Hagman. I want to thank each and every one of you. Thank you so much for your belief and your trust in this platform. We really appreciate you, your support of this platform. The last 24 hours have just been absolutely incredibly. Thank you. Thank you. It's we're blessed. We are moving in different directions with respect to how we are going to how we're going to essentially keep at the what we're going to do with respect to corporate sponsors, okay? Because we're pretty much done with woke companies. More on that at a later time. A couple of things here I want to get into. October 9th, well, don't forget tomorrow, the tone alert, emergency broadcast system tone alert. Just don't forget about that, all right? Now, whatever you want to do, look, I'm not, what it is, what it could be, I don't trust the government. So I personally am not going to be anywhere near the tones, or have any devices around me, nor will this studio be online at that time. Okay. I'm just saying, nor will any of my immediate family members be anywhere near an electronic device. Just saying. It's up to you what you want to do. It could be nothing, but the fact of the matter is, and by the way, it's only like 30 seconds and it's scheduled for, I believe, 2:20 or 2:22 or some odd time. Double check tomorrow. Was that? Oh, I thought for a second there, Eric the Tech was talking to me. I'm going to touch base with this. I know that Mike Adams was talking about this. I think it might have been yesterday, perhaps. October 9th, RFK Jr. is going to make an announcement. Whether or not he's going to go a third party as an independent or another party, look, I don't know, but that seems to be the nature of the announcement. And here's why this is important. Look, I get the fact that elections, if you do the same thing like we did in 2022 and 2020, same result, right? You're not going to have anything different. It's going to be stolen from you. But in this particular case, in this instance, if RFK Jr. decides to go to a third party, it would be rather interesting, because then who does he take votes away from? And again, Mike Adams spoke at length about this, but I wanted to touch on this as well. I'm following this as well, as is Randy Taylor, who's joining me today. What would happen if no one, let's just say the lineup is RFK Jr. as an independent, libertarian perhaps, or some other party. Look, I don't know which party he might choose. And then you've got Biden, which I don't believe Biden will run. I believe by the end of next month, by the end of November, we will be Bidenless. Okay. Does that mean Kamala Harris ascends? Look, I don't know. I don't know, because we are in uncharted waters. But watch Biden carefully over the next 30 days. I don't think they can run with Biden. They can, obviously, but I don't know if they will. Don't forget Biden. You know, the guy's mush. The man is less coherent than I am, okay? That's saying something. But, you know, the guy, at this point, it's elder abuse. That's what this is with Biden. But let's just say it's RFK, Biden, or whatever placeholder, I say if it's not Biden, it'll be Michelle Obama. And people laugh at me and say, oh, that's just a bunch of BS. And, you know, I know Joel Gilbert feels that way. Not that it's BS, but Joel Gilbert, the author, believes it's going to be Michelle Biden. I do believe, or Michelle Obama, I do believe that Michelle Obama is gearing up. And there are signs out there that she's doing some things that she would not ordinarily do if she wasn't running. But again, that's for another program. That's not this program. And then, of course, Donald Trump on the Republican ticket. Because why? Because he will be. And I've got some information about the court yesterday, what happened in court yesterday, what's going on, why that's going on, and the people behind that. Very important show today. But think of it this way: if RFK comes in as a spoiler, imagine you've got to have 270 electoral votes in order to receive the nomination. California, by the way, has got 54 just electoral votes. Just kind of, I don't know, as an aside. But let's say no one gets to 270 electoral votes. What happens then? As has happened before. Well, it's interesting because if none receive the majority of the electors enough to take them over the top, then it goes to the states. And if you remember your high school or college courses, if they taught the Constitution or the process, the states get the votes. It's one state, one vote, and it's by the state legislatures. And that would be very interesting. And in that case, given the nature, I believe, and I agree with Adams on this, given the nature of the when you look at the overview of the United States, I would suspect that that would put Donald Trump over the top. Okay, that's my view. At this point, and as Mike Adams said, this far out from the election, that's kind of my guess. And of course, if that does happen, you can expect to see riots like you've never seen before in this country. And if it doesn't happen, I do suspect that you can expect to see some things, riots as well, but for different reasons. And I think that we are in trouble regardless. And if you are of the opinion, well, elections don't matter, well, okay. I fully understand that sentiment, but no, they do matter. Stolen elections matter even more, and that's what we saw, that's what we've had, and we have to stop that. Now, I've got a list of things to get into, including what happened yesterday, some things on the border, the judge in the case, and of course, who is prosecuting the January 6th people? And they're expecting, the Justice Department is expecting another 800 to 1,000 arrests for January 6th. Now, what year is this? 2023. When did this happen? 2 years ago. We have no law and order in this country anymore. We have no justice. We have no justice system in this country anymore. It's lawlessness. Lawlessness abounds. And if you take a look at, by the way, if you take a look at all of the Democratic leftist run cities, they are crashing and burning. And that, along with the unfettered illegals coming into this country, the criminals coming into this country, you're seeing chaos in the United States. Like I said yesterday, we will not come back from where we're at. I don't believe that to be the case. The only way to come back from where we're at, frankly, is for everyone to hit their knees, every righteous person in America to hit their knees and pray for forgiveness, pray, just repent and pray. When you look at the body count with the unborn children, when you look at everything that we've done or failed to do, boy, we got a lot of forgiveness to be asking for. And that's where we're at. With me is Randy Taylor, rt@hagmanpi.com. That's his email address. Randy, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. I was having a good morning there until you went over the headlines.
What's that? Okay.
Well, yeah. You know what? It gets worse every day. What she said about people getting on their knees is what needs to happen.
I'll tell you what.
No matter what we do, let's start there. That's what we forgot, Doug. Absolutely. As soon as we started killing babies, this country started heading away from God in a big way. In a big way.
Well,
it's easy to trace.
It's interesting because I've been looking at the recent history of the United States, reading about it. I began with Watergate. I've got three books out about Watergate, going through the real reason behind that. And again, we're going to have to do a show on that because that is so interesting. And that Watergate gave rise essentially to the FISA court, which has been weaponized. It's so intertwined, the things that have happened lately. So what you said, you know, when we started killing babies, Roe v. Wade, in the leftists or the people of America said, oh, that's law now, we can do that. Well, no, that never was law. It never was. It wasn't what people thought it was, Roe v. Wade. And it still isn't, okay? But then you go back into the 60s and you see when they took prayer out of school and out of the public square and such. Yeah. So
it was just one thing right after another.
Right.
And I think as far as families go, a lot of this problem is because families failed, when they quit meeting at night at the dinner table.
That's right.
And that sounds so vague and so, but think about it. Go back in your personal life and think about when your family quit meeting at the dinner table because mom had to work or whatever. Things started changing because we used to be accountable every day to each other.
See, you're exactly right. And madmen, glamorizing too, the era of the 60s. I get that. Okay. Society as a whole began unraveling in the 60s.
Yep.
Okay.
And like you said, I'm going to say largely due to prayer.
Exactly.
The lack of it. You know,
right.
And this is where I believe that pastors all across America and Canada have failed. Absolutely failed.
Yep.
You're supposed to be the shepherd for your sheep. You're supposed to be the shepherd. When I was a kid, I grew up in an independent Baptist church. He had no problem telling us who we should vote for.
And pastors right now, look,
they're terrified.
501c3, if you've got a church, I believe pastors are hiding behind their donor class, the money that's coming in. Steve Quayle posted, I believe he did post this. He sent me an hour-long sermon, which I'll post again because I think it's scrolled off of his front page. But it talks about the fact that, you know, there are Christians out there, Christian pastors, who are leading their flock astray. And the people who are waiting for the rapture, well, look, no, don't do that. I mean, if that's your belief system that we're going to be raptured out of here, God bless you. I hope I hope that works out for you because I don't want to hear to that. Okay, but I'm not here to talk about the rapture. But go on.
No, and even if it was coming, I say we still have to fight.
And regardless, yeah,
absolutely, because nobody's told us otherwise.
Yeah,
you know, I don't have any. Everybody interprets this book here, you know, in different ways, and I understand that. And both of us are right when the person that is feeling that way that Jesus is coming. Okay, I'll go with that, but I'm going to fight. Because I'm not etched in stone on that.
There's only one point of salvation, and that's the fact that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. If you don't agree on that, The rest is intellectual fodder. If you don't agree on that one
point. And interpretation. And interpretation.
Right.
Right. And that's... all religious books are interpreted. The Quran. That's why you had so many problems with Middle Eastern terrorism. Because these imams were interpreting the Quran to people who couldn't even read the Quran.
Well, yeah.
So you know, it's easy to head down any road. I guess that's my point.
Well, But what we need to do is we need to keep focused on what God wants us to do. I think.
Absolutely.
You want to have an argument about the rapture. You want to have an argument about pre-Adamic civilization or whatever the case might be. It's not a matter of salvation. Just keep your eyes on what's important. Okay. Now, we've got a lot into.
Oh, by the way, that is at 2:20 tomorrow.
2:20. Okay. Yeah.
I took a peek while you were talking.
Okay, good. That's just for the U.S., right?
Because that's my understanding. That's what I was curious about. How does Canada fall into that? Because the border's right there, and that signal, you know, there's people that live in the U.S. and work in Canada, and vice versa in the course of a day. How are the phones, you know, and who says that that's a cutoff point? They're not pushing it up in Canada.
Well, I think it's by U.S. number. So if you've got a U.S. telephone number, but the device part of it, I'm not sure. Look, I don't know. Just be wary, folks. If those people will say, oh, yeah, I know. Well, unless you're part of whoever's running the system, you really don't know because
exactly. You don't. Exactly.
So don't tell me you know because you don't know.
Not we got here. A great show lineup here.
Yeah. Okay. I was looking into this. This is extremely important. Okay, so you've got really the who's behind the prosecution of the conservatives. Okay, think back, folks, to the Tea Party back in 2010 through 2012. I believe it was, or 11 through 13. The IRS against the Tea Party. Right? Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Lois Lerner and all of that. But now you've got Merrick Garland as AG. Of course, that was the IRS. There was an AG component to that, but it wasn't front and center, whereas today Merrick Garland is front and center in the prosecution of conservatives and the attempt to take off air programs like this.
Yes.
You know, okay, we're going to go to video one. This is from Steve Bannon. Merrick Garland will go to prison for life if we do our job. This sets the stage for the next couple of video snippets and for the essence of today's program. The reason this is important is because Trump is being persecuted and prosecuted. If you think that's bad, wait, because it's coming to you. Because we're starting to feel it. In a number of different ways, and you will too. And if we're starting to feel it, I guarantee you, it's not long. You're not far behind us. Let's go to clip one.
Attorney General Garland leads 115,000 employees, prosecutors, agents of the FBI, and other federal law enforcement. Additional security is now assigned to protect judges and prosecutors after the Trump cases drew death threats. Political violence is among Garland's gravest concerns.
People can argue with each other as much as they want and as vociferously as they want, but the one thing they may not do is use violence and threats of violence to alter the outcome. An important aspect of this is the American people themselves. The American people must protect each other.
If they come back to that, hold it. He's chaining Peter Navarro up like a dog. His FBI, they're going and kicking down the doors of these people that are praying the rosary. Don't say he's going to cry again. Is he going to cry again? Is that what I'm going to sit here for? Your violence, dude, is driving this. Your violence. How can these guys, these people, the hobbits that have no money, have a bunch of kids? You go to the house with your up-armored FBI and arrest them and chain. What did Hawk say? He was chained like a dog for 6 hours to a table. You're the one that's violent. You're the one that's threatening violence. You're the one bringing violence. Don't sit there on 60 Minutes and give me the big crocodile tears. Your day's coming, dude, after January of 2025, when we go back over this whole illegitimate regime and we get into the receipts and we start drilling down here on what you guys actually did and what you had plotted to do that we stopped. Remember now, whistleblowers coming forward, we stopped. You were going after the Latin mass speaking. There's not a group that's got less cash than that group, less net worth. That's the absolute, absolute hobbits. Absolute hobbits. And you're threatening violence all the time. You're trying to show force all the time. And you sit there and perjure yourself. How can you even, am I going to go in 60 minutes? And when I play this clip later, I'm going to get big crocodile tears from him like he gave crocodile tears at the beginning of his testimony. Gave crocodile tears. And then goes out and does nothing but arrest. The biggest FBI thing they've ever had. Have they got something on the southern border? We've had an invasion here with, 3 million this year. 10 million invaders, Visigoths, that are here. Is he got the biggest, largest investigation going on the southern border with the cartels? Is Merrick Garland do that? Is he down enforcing the asylum laws in this nation? No. He's doing the exact opposite. He should be in prison for the rest of his life. And my God, if we do our job after we win, he will be in prison for the rest of his life. He's exacerbated. He's constructed and exacerbated, with many of them, the invasion of your country. I don't care about the eastern border, Ukraine. I don't care. What I do care about is I'm not sending any more money over there. And what I care about is getting prosecutions, everybody that stole the money that American taxpayers sent, and then get as much money back and send it to places maybe like St. Louis, Detroit, Omaha, anywhere. Sprinkle around the country. Let the Americans say, if you're gonna spend it, let's spend it on Americans in America. The United States of America. The biggest investigation he's got is about...
What do you think of that, RT? I mean, just a second.
I'll tell you what, when Bannon speaks like that, yeah. I love the guy. He's pouring his heart out, man. You know?
Yeah.
And he's absolutely right. Either there's going to be an election or there's not. If there is an election, we have to storm it. Storm it. I'm talking every election station. We need to be up people's asses on them 24 hours a day. I mean, on them like you've never seen before. I'm talking to where it scares the shit out of them to even think about cheating.
Exactly.
And if they come and somebody says there's not going to be an election, then guess what? All bets are off at that point. I'll go with you.
I'll
go with you.
Under what circumstances would there not be an election?
They try and pull a wartime thing. But right now, people don't even realize Ukrainian soldiers are surrendering.
Ukraine's
like crazy. I know. It's basically from words that we're getting from overseas, it's over. In fact, Russia set up a special frequency on their radios just for surrender, the Ukrainians to surrender. They're surrendering en masse. You're not hearing this on mainstream media. Oh, no. Because they'd have to justify another however many billions. Somebody sent me a list. I forget who it was. It may have been MGT, Marjorie Taylor Greene, MTJ, whatever. I think she may have put it on her Twitter, but it was a list of the millions and billions. That'll blow your mind. I've got it saved in a photograph. It's unbelievable what has been sent for nothing. And then you got the Pentagon's crying now because they need to replenish what's been sent. It's a mess. Joe Biden is running this country into the toilet. I'm sick and tired of these people on social media praising that bastard. I'm done with them. I've been done with them. He's an imbecile.
Well, I don't even know if he knows
imbecile.
That. Imbecile.
But no,
by definition, I think you're right.
I was watching a news clip yesterday, or it might have been yesterday, or even this morning. But they're sitting there, and they said something to him, and he's like, You just want to slap them.
the key it's word like, is how can anybody want be to, that? Okay, yeah, to the Secret Service. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? It justifies a slap because the guy's out of his tree.
Yeah.
About his, you know, he makes that Lurch guy look like a genius.
Dumb and Dumber.
Fetterman or whatever their name is? Fetterman?
Fetterman, yeah, Dumb and Dumber.
M. Fetterman.
Unbelievable. I look for dots to connect. Yeah. Here's the thing. I don't force fit, you know, a square peg into a round hole. What I try to do is see various dots out there in the landscape. Now, you've got the Justice Department out there going completely rogue. And the Justice Department, mm-hmm. again, over, when I say over, working in collusion with the FBI, the CIA, the intelligence community. And let me just bring Watergate back up again here. People are going to think I'm just nuts for even talking about this. But when you get really deep into the Watergate, the whole Watergate thing, no one can answer the question. And the Washington Post, you know, even back then in the 70s, okay, never asked the question about motive. This happened in June of 72, the break-in did. In June of 72, Nixon, not even close to the election, Nixon was far ahead in the polls. There was no real motive to break into the DNC headquarters, and the five burglars were not even in the area of the DNC that were caught where any information would have been stored. As a matter of fact, there was no information. So what was the motive? Well, when you start to look at the fact that this was a CIA operation, that makes or assists in making the Kennedy assassination, as RFK Jr. is talking about, both his RFK Jr.'s father as well as JFK, a little bit makes more sense, because this was to legitimize the CIA, because mm-hmm. the CIA, and you know this from your background, the CIA does not have a domestic charter, cannot operate in the U.S., except there's one exception, and that exception is if they are operating under a national security directive based on a national security threat and authorized by the executive branch, meaning the president. They can operate on American soil. So the reason Hunt was there, he was an FBI operative or a CIA operative. That was the reason Hunt was there, was to give the CIA plausibility or make it appear that this was a sanctioned event by the White House, which explains why everything went sideways. The reason it's important today is because what happened in Watergate birthed FISA, essentially the FISA court and the system, that and the Church Committee, but it also shows how the CIA has grown its operations domestically. And it also, when you look at this, it also imperils Donald Trump. It imperils RFK Jr., as well as the citizens of the United States, especially the journalists who are attempting to expose the globalist agenda. Boy, I hope. Did that make sense to you, RT?
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
I didn't want to just dominate that, but
but you're absolutely right. The CIA is behind every bit of this. Every incident you mentioned.
Okay.
They're there.
All right.
They left their footprints there.
Well, okay. Yeah. And you know, the fingerprints of the intelligence community, and this is something that I was up really early, late last night, early this morning, and I saw this footage. This is making the rounds on social media. This is video 2. This is the judge in the Trump case. And okay, now I pulled this off of a video feed off of Twitter, but then this Liberty Daily posted this, so we'll go with this one. This is video two. Watch this and listen, but watch this clip carefully and think about what you just saw with Garland. Go ahead and play clip two.
Now, I'm going to say something controversial, even though I'm being taped. Juries get it wrong a lot. That's my own opinion. I do only civil trials, personal injury cases, contract disputes. But I've had situations where, like, oh, my heaven's sake, how could they have thought that? Well, I have a tool that I can deal with that. It's called judgment notwithstanding the verdict. I can say there is no possible way that a reasonable jury would have reached that conclusion. And, all right, am I following the law or am I making law? Okay, I'm following law. I'm an impartial referee. But it's hard to factor out my own emotions. And I have tools. Somebody can say, well, Your Honor, you have to throw out this case because it's just like another case. Well, is it just like another case? What if the defendant was wearing a red sweater instead of a blue sweater? Oh, and by the way, I worked for the Columbia Daily Spectator for a couple of weeks. What happened was I went there every day, and I wrote a few stories. One I got criticized on because I wrote that some Ku Klux Klanners had murdered some people, and I was told, you can't say that. How do we know? You aren't there. Well, that was what everybody thought. Anyway, yeah, we should have absolute immunity. What if we defame somebody? That's how it usually comes up. You know, you call somebody a murderer or a heroin addict, that sort of thing, a pedophile. If it's done in court, yeah, I think we should have absolute immunity.
Now, that was RT in the audience. Folks, if you're listening to this on any audio platform, just look at that clip.
He's already rendered his decision.
And I'm getting to that. You're right. He has. He telegraphed. Now this, that was from a speech. I think it was last year, maybe. That was from a closed speech. But now there's video three, and then I want you to weigh in after this, okay? This is the assessment of the judge and of the entire case by one of Donald Trump's attorneys on Fox News. Don't throw anything at me and don't send me emails. Okay. It's just,
we have to get video from somewhere.
All right. But that's where she was at. And that's okay. So now, like I said, I want you to weigh in after this. But that's the Trump judge. And my question to you while you're processing.
He's a dope smoker, man.
He's more than that.
He gets high.
the guy's a communist. I'm going to tell you right now. In my personal researched opinion.
I thought it was Bernie Sanders for a second.
It could be his brother, you know?
You're lying.
Yep. Okay. Now watch. Watch video three here, because these are connected, obviously. Think about Garland. I know that's kind of an outlier, but no, it's not. Think about Garland, the prosecutions. Now, this case against Donald Trump is a civil matter. And let me ask this question ahead of the video. Don't answer it, but think to yourself, folks. Do you know what this case against Donald Trump is all about? Okay, go ahead and play clip three.
I think there's reality, and then there's this world that they all live in. And they put on quite a performance trying to make it look like there was corruption that doesn't exist. And we got up and we made it very clear. First, let's start with something very basic. We are not supposed to be here doing this trial right now because we're not even sure what the scope is because the appellate division hasn't said so. Now, we're sitting here in court, we're putting on our arguments, and we're saying, wait a minute, you're relying on Michael Cohen. They played a clip from him today. I started laughing.
A clip of Michael Cohen at the court case today.
That was how they thought their strong point was. Let's start off.
Wait, Letitia
with Michael
James,
Cohen.
The Democrat attorney general, led with Michael Cohen in court.
Yes.
That should tell you everything you need to know. This judge looked a little creepy. with a smile. What was your opinion of him?
I am not going to state it. I'm going to let you do
it. Very good. I'll state it. He looked very deranged. So the vibe inside was what? The president was there. He didn't have to show up, but he did. Why did he show up?
Because this is his company. This is his life. And people forget that President Trump, I hope they don't forget. You shouldn't. You can't. President Trump was a very important person before he was president. He was a successful businessman, which is why he was a great president. He built this company from scratch, and now they're attacking his business, the people that work for this business, and his children. It's uncanny, and he's not going to stand for it because this is political lawfare. This isn't the justice system. This is political 100%. He needed to be there. He needed to look him in the eye.
Does he beat this whole rap?
He should. And if he doesn't beat it in this court, I'll tell you right now, we'll beat it somewhere else. This is the most ridiculous case I've ever seen.
That was Alina Haba, the attorney for Donald Trump. Did you see that the judge, kind of smirking for the cameras or playing to the cameras? Those were MSNBC cameras, by the way.
Right. He allowed them into the courtroom in the very beginning, apparently.
Yes. Yeah.
And then ushered him out, but he had to get his 2 cents in.
And Letitia James was sitting in the second row behind the prosecution.
And what a piece of work there.
I've got to tell you, when you look at the connections between Letitia James, this doofus of a judge.
She's Soros funded, unless I'm making a mistake.
No, she is.
Her campaign was Soros funded.
100%.
Through one of his fronts.
Yes.
Okay, all right, so I wouldn't, all right.
Okay.
Because that's what my data showed.
Yeah, not 100% of her, but 100% Soros funded. In other words, yes, she was Soros funded, 100% guaranteed. Now, can you articulate, I don't want to put you on the spot, but can you articulate what this case is all about? Why he's sitting there?
This is more political persecution.
Yeah.
I know they killed his license in New York. That hurts. I'm sure there's a way around it. I'm quite sure.
Let me help you out just a little bit.
Okay.
All right. This is an outgrowth of Letitia James's prosecution against Donald Trump in the state of New York. Okay.
Bear in mind, remember too, folks, she campaigned on this.
100%.
That's the most bizarre aspect of this. She used this in her campaign constantly, that she was going to bring down Donald Trump. What her hard on is with Donald Trump, I'm not 100% for sure.
It's the MAGA base. Okay. And again, we have to do an entire show on, I've got a stack of research on my desk.
I mean, where did they cross paths before? They had to have crossed paths somewhere.
It's not personal. It's money driven. It's greed driven. It's I will make you into something you're not driven. Think Kamala Harris, instead of the knee pads, hey, do this for me. Okay.
Right.
And that's what, but this is an outgrowth of that prosecution in New York. And here's what is at issue. The issue is the judge decided in an official ruling that President Trump, while doing business in the state of New York, overvalued his assets, property assets specifically, Trump Tower, 40 right. Wall Street, okay, the buildings. Overvalued right. them for the purposes of lending, getting money, as right. well as insurance.
Right.
Okay, now, let's dispel the insurance. Nothing happened to the buildings, right. unlike Building 7 and North and South Towers, Towers 1 and 2 and 9/11. Nothing happened to his buildings. So, overvalued for lending.
Yeah, for lending, which we...
Guess what, though?
I...
Every single loan referenced by the judge was paid back with interest.
Right.
They're all paid off. There is no victim here.
It's a moot point.
Right.
And statute of limitations had run out on a lot of these.
Exactly. 80% plus.
Yes. I think they're going to... I mean, I honestly, he'll have to win this. I can't see any other way. Because another thing, Doug, real estate value is subjective.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right? You just sold a house. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I did.
Boom, boom, boom. Right? Okay. And I look at anything that I own, and I know that, okay, well, it's what someone's willing to pay for it.
Yes. Yes.
And if you know that, you know, everybody else might say, that house is worth $300,000. But and every time I know that I've been involved in something like that, I always went high. And somebody paid it.
I got a lesson in that when you said I sold the house recently. I went the initial walkthrough with the realtor. I said, oh, man, this house is worth X amount of dollars.
Yeah.
She looked at me.
Yeah,
and
you and
said,
I discussed
to you, maybe.
That. Right.
To you. Yeah, to you.
Yeah, you and I discussed that, and you went ahead and used your brain on that one. Definitely, and did the right thing. And it worked.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, sometimes
you know, it's subjective.
Exactly.
And the Mar-a-Lago number, what does this judge know about real estate? What does this prosecutor know about real estate?
What does the Trump's, judge know? See, the judge is the one that affixed the dollar value.
Well, and here's the killer is neither one of them are licensed real estate people. Trump has licensed real estate people that work within his organization that would say this is the value of it. This isn't decided over dinner.
Right. You can't.
And they don't know. And you know what? You want to know? And like, okay. One time I owned a car lot. There may be a green car sitting here, so 1974 something, okay?
That was your cover. Don't tell me.
But I can, and I may say this is what this car is worth, but running the business, you assign costs to cars. And the blue book might be such and such, but I have to assign a cost to it because there's costs attributed to running the business, which is going to raise that price. You understand what I'm saying? What's sitting here in building A might be generating income for building B. When my family had restaurants, two restaurants carried the third one. You know what I'm saying? But the value of that third restaurant was still huge.
And that's right.
Subjective.
Well,
this whole thing is this when he called it a witch hunt, he nailed it. Because this was even worse than anything that happened to him when he was in office. This is ridiculous.
This is
cross and pitchfork and torches material.
Here's my question to you, RT. Do people?
Yes, sir.
Do people, even the MAGA people, do they understand what this case is about? Do you think they fully understand that this is all that this case is about? It's about the
evaluation? I think so. Donald Trump talks about it, the better it will be because they're going to be going off news clips. He needs to win over because you have a lot of Democrat businessmen in the country.
Yes, you do.
And this should be a warning to them. Okay? Boy. That you have a prosecutor or a judge that are dabbling in something they have no business being in because they know nothing about it. And they're both politically persecuting, not just prosecuting, they're persecuting this man.
Exactly.
As a political foe.
And according to this judge, if you crunch the numbers, and think about this, folks, Mar-a-Lago, all Hunter Biden would have to do is sell 34 or 35 of his paintings. And he could exchange the proceeds for Mar-a-Lago. Think about that.
That's what they're saying. And here's the other thing. You know, the value of Mar-a-Lago. What if they're carrying one of the businesses in New York on Mar-a-Lago, on proceeds from Mar-a-Lago. You don't know how his company's set up. It's none of your damn business.
Exactly.
It's none of their business. They're going into something that is none of their business.
But what's important, and I think that this is so critically important, when people understand what this judge and what Letitia James and this judge, and in conjunction with the IRS as well as the AG, what they're doing, they're doing it to the entire Trump family.
Yes. Yes, sir. He's made sure that his kids won't be able to pull a business license. Now, that's a quick walk around. All this, he can turn over to an attorney. You're in charge. Really, that's what you can do. But it's the picture that's painted to the public.
Exactly.
That's what. And you know what? I'm going to tell you what. I know a lot of people don't like Trump and all, but I'll tell you what. I honestly hope he's the next president. And I hope that when it's time to clean up, that he asks some people for some help and we get it done. I'd go work for the guy. He's a tough son of a bitch. Look at this guy's age, and he's in court. He's trying to run for president. He's doing rallies, and people still love him. All they do every time they hit him with something is build his base.
I totally agree, but I'm going to tell you this. If this was happening to Hillary Clinton, I would not agree with it either, okay?
I wouldn't. It's wrong. Wrong is wrong, Doug. It doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on. Wrong is wrong.
Exactly. And I remember a Columbo episode. I'm a big Columbo fan. And I remember a Columbo episode where a woman's husband was, she killed her husband and then claimed it to be a kidnapping. And there was a dialogue between Columbo and the woman. And the woman said, as well as her stepdaughter, which would be the victim's daughter, and the victim's daughter planted some evidence, and because she knew that her stepmother was guilty of killing her father. Anyway, bottom line, dialogue between the stepdaughter, the woman, the murderess, whatever, and Columbo. In Columbo looking at the woman and saying, I could not have you arrested on false evidence or evidence that wouldn't hold up. In other words, I know you're guilty, but you're not guilty based on that evidence. It's the same, in my mind, I don't know if I made any sense with that, but it's the same thing. Even if it was Hillary Clinton, I would not, because Clinton is guilty of many, many, many things, in my opinion.
Yes.
You don't have to get her on some stupid.
What was it? Thing. Well, there was something recently when we were, somebody on the left took a hard hit. And I forget what it was, but we were defending him here on the show. We said, wait a minute. No, that's not right. It may have been one of those sexual cases or something. Automatically people are guilty. As soon as the charge comes up, they're guilty. They lose their sponsors, all 9 years. You don't even know if the person is guilty. We're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. And I'm sorry, that goes to the left too. I don't want to see this. I don't want to see what we're seeing in the courts today. I really don't want to see it. It has to change.
Well,
because they've weaponized the system. And here's the sad part: you get the wrong opponent in the White House. Guess what? You already weaponized the system. Now all he has to do is take over the controls.
Well, okay, which brings me to page one in the show notes. Go to HagmanPI.com, open up today's episode, and you can find the links to everything we're talking about. So what you just said there, okay, about the weaponization, and you talk about the way things are intertwined. If you can put page one up on the screen, Eric the Tech, that'd be great.
And isn't it amazing how everything's intertwined, like we always say?
Yeah, I'm telling you.
6 degrees from Kevin Bacon, baby. We got it. Listen to the Hagman Report. We'll tell you how this stuff works. We got this down to a science.
I put this up on HagmanPI.com as a standalone. It does default to Real Clear Investigations. Now, So we start off with the clip with A.G. Garland and the fact that, you know what, he should spend the rest of his life in jail for what he is doing. Okay, yes. Now when you take the persecution / prosecution of Trump, and then you overlay that with the prosecution and persecution of the J6 prisoners, political prisoners, those who have been arrested and put in jail, and those who have yet to be arrested, and believe me, there will be more. Okay. Now, who's behind this? Well, real clear investigations, and I want to bring, I think you and I brought up Graves' name before, but I wanted to do this now because Real Clear Investigations makes a connection between Matthew Graves, okay, the activist wife, Fatima Goss Graves, and Matthew Graves, okay, the wife works. The wife who networks with the anti MAGA White House while her prosecutor husband puts J6ers in jail. Now this is by Julie Kelly. This is a really quite a lengthy article. If you scroll down below the Twitter post, let's see here. So the second paragraph below the Twitter post there, with embedded within the article. Says this, Matthew Graves now, who's in the AG working with Garland and is really a Garland sycophant. Graves appears to be making good on his pledge to double the number of January 6th defendants. A growing caseload that monopolizes Department of Justice resources and clogs D.C. federal court's calendar with trials and hearings. And he told the Washington Post in a February 2022 interview that that somewhere around 1,000 or 2,000 people, could be identified and charged before his work was over or before the statute of limitations for most offenses expires in 2026. That's going to happen. Okay, I'm telling you right now. All right, why is this important? Well, let's see, how many paragraphs now? A bunch of paragraphs down. Okay. Concerns, this would be right under, I'm trying to direct Eric where this would be. This would be under the ad, the paragraph under the ad on the right-hand side, about halfway down. Concerns about Graves' impartiality are intensified because of his wife's involvement in partisan issues and her closeness to the Biden White House. As president and CEO of the National Women's Law Center, the NWLC, whose primary focus is reforming the Supreme Court. Now think about that, okay? Demanding unrestricted access to abortion and promoting LGBTQRSBLT rights, Fatima Goss Groves plays a crucial role in advancing priorities of Democrats and the Biden administration. Now, substitute communists for Democrats and the Biden administration for the Obama regime, and you've got it. So, this is definitely the intermingling of activist groups, whether you're sleeping with the prosecutor or you're part or you have any input whatsoever in terms of White House visits under the auspices of the cause that you have, okay? But when your husband is a sycophant of Garland, how can you separate or keep this separate? You can't. So Garland, J6 defendants, Graves is in charge of the prosecution. His wife is tied at the hip to the Obama / Biden regime. And there it is right there. If you go to the NWLC staff at their website, you can read all about Goss Graves. Did I say Groves? I'm sorry, Graves. Pardon me for my bad, but it's Graves. Matthew Graves and Fatima Goss Graves. Two in a pod, but RT, you can see the weaponization, as you mentioned, and the fact that there's such a closeness there. Go ahead.
There's a huge trail. And like you said, it goes back to Obama.
Yes.
I'll tell you right now, this Obama has been nothing but trouble. He is nothing but trouble for this country, for this nation. He's endangering this nation. He's endangering all the patriots and Christians in this nation. He's at war with Christianity. He's at war with the United States, period. And you can't possibly look at Biden and think he's in charge of anything. Anybody with half a brain, if I could sit down a six-year-old and say, you know, and put Biden in a lineup and he'd point out the dummy. You know, I mean, think about it. Every time I see him on TV anymore, it's like, really? It's supposed to be the most powerful man in the free world. Great. Obama's the problem. And Obama's feeding all of this because these people are carryovers from Obama days.
Obama, Jared, Ayers, Dorn, all of the people, Weather Underground. Yeah, it's all. Yeah.
And since when did we put terrorists in the White House?
Well, since 2008.
Where is the thinking? I mean, these people are out here walking around that are making these dumb decisions and putting these people in the White House and putting these people in our government. I just don't. It's getting worse and worse. And now they're going to want to do the digital IDs and give everybody universal income. You know that college kids are going to love that because they can't buy a house. So they'll sign up for that. I mean, hook, line, and sinker, they are absolutely bringing this nation down, which is what they want to do. And the only thing keeping us from crashing is the fact that we're armed. And that's no joke.
Exactly.
That is no joke. Everybody that puts down that Second Amendment, you remind that every time Rob Reiner speaks his fat ass up about something, okay? We need to keep the guns. You make them, take them. Don't you ever surrender your weapons. And people, quit showing your weapons on social media. Knock it off.
Agreed.
Knock it off. I mean, stop. Okay.
If you want to buy
firearms privately, I would recommend that more than going to a store and buying them.
Exactly.
I'm not joking, people. You got to start getting smart. You got to start thinking smart.
Because they're coming for them.
Listen, the next year is going to be crazy in the U.S. and Canada. I'm telling you right now. There's marches going on in Canada. They've moved into Ottawa. There's millions of people involved in this. Things are going to get really nutty up there. And everything that happens up there, you mark my words, will happen here. Don't you think for one second you're safe from it. What you get is you have a huge delay because we're armed. We get emails. Doug gets them. I get them. I've sent them to Doug before. We have people all over the world. Think bigger than the United States. It isn't just us. We people from all over the world say, please, please do not surrender to these globalists. You're the only thing stopping the globalists from taking over the world.
Amen.
You stop and think about that. That's a huge responsibility, America. And I'm proud that everybody thinks that way, but we have got to stand our ground. We've got to stand our ground. We're getting into precarious times. And we're talking about at the beginning of the show about there may not be an election. That's no joke. I know up in Canada, all the, you know, the guys are, you know, election guys, and, you know, Pierre wants to be the prime minister and blah, 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 blah. They're all from the same ilk.
They are.
They're just under a different flag, a banner. But when you get down to it, when you start checking their backgrounds, and everybody's got connections to that World Economic Forum, I'll tell you right now, that needs to be done away with. There's people that watch this show that are in Germany. I don't know what the hell you people are doing over there, okay? But you need to get to the bottom of this World Economic Forum thing. You need to get with your authorities, and you need to start looking at indicting these people. Because what they're promoting, you know, people bark and cry and whine about Nazis. Well, I'll tell you what, you've got a nest of them right there. The World Economic Forum and their ideology and everything that they're teaching and promoting and telling these countries that they want them to do it is Nazi through and through. They're talking about dominating the world. They're talking about enslaving everyone in open-air prisons called 15-minute cities.